prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can't prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
Hey, welcome to Truth Revolution. This is where faith and reason coexist. I am Dave from Revolution Church, and this is Pastor Jeff. Also,
from Revolution Church,
yes.
And we are online at revo.church, R-E-V-O.church, or you can find Truth Revolution at truthrevolution.tv. As always, if you're interested in supporting or learning more, you can get to our website. Love to ask questions. We love to have people browse our website, get truth shots, list right. our old shows. Over 500 pieces of information there, from 30, 40-minute shows to 60-second truth shots.
And we've been doing this now for over 4 years.
Man.
Isn't that crazy?
It's almost like we're running out of stuff to say. So today, we're just going to talk about... Oh, yeah. Actually, we're going to talk about something we have talked about before. Mm-hmm. These are atheist arguments for the non-existence of God.
Oh, so we're gonna try and prove the non-existence of God today.
Something like that. We're going to try to disprove the disproofs.
Okay.
So we're going to take what they've used to supposedly disprove God's existence. We're going to answer those things as well as answer a Bible contradiction mm-hmm, today.
As always.
And we're going to try to get to a listener question. And I got a recommended book over here that people should check out.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Homework.
So, that's right. So let's go ahead and get to this. Okay. Now, we have this thing called the cosmological argument for God's existence. But they have one called the cosmological disproof mm-hmm. of God. So let's figure this out. Line one, because they're making a logical argument. One, two, three.
Right.
Line one says this.
God is a self-caused being.
Okay. Number two.
Says that, but it is impossible to cause one's own being, for a cause is prior to its effect, and one can't be prior to oneself.
Okay, so their conclusion.
Is therefore... God cannot exist.
All right. Now, I think this argument is valid, meaning in philosophical terms uh-huh. that if number one is true and number two is true,
okay.
then number three would be
right.
true as well.
Okay. So it follows a logical order.
Yes, it follows a logical order. Okay. They're not saying light is yellow and roses are red, therefore a dump truck will stop at your house today.
Oh.
Right? That's not...
Dump trucks are normally orange, and when you put yellow and red together, you get orange?
No, that's not a logically valid argument. See, valid means it flows one to two to three. Now, it doesn't mean that everything you said was true.
Right.
For instance, I could say, number one, Dave is an astronaut. Number two, all astronauts are prepared to go to space. Number three, therefore, Dave is prepared to go to space.
No, Dave is not a good astronaut. That's what the therefore is.
Number one, Dave is an astronaut. Not true.
Right.
Number two, all astronauts are prepared to go to space. I don't even know if that's true either.
Right.
But even though those are not true, it's still a valid argument, because if Dave was an astronaut and if all astronauts went to outer space or were prepared, then it would be true that Dave was prepared to go to outer space.
I was an astronaut for 30 seconds.
Sorry, dude. I don't mean to spoil your dreams. Anyway, so I agree. Number one, like, if God is a self-caused being, mm-hmm. and if it is impossible to cause your own being, then God wouldn't be able to exist.
Right.
I agree. But what I disagree with is that this is a sound argument, because I think number one is not true.
Number one is not true. That's right.
Number one.
Because we've discussed this before on prior shows.
Yes.
That God didn't necessarily cause himself.
That's right. Number one says God is a self-caused being. And we don't think God is a self-caused being. Hmm. God exists. Now, for Christians and Jews, this is pretty clear. God refers to himself as the I am.
Right.
When we talk about our cosmological argument, we don't say that everything was caused. We say only those things that have a beginning to their existence need to be caused. God doesn't have a beginning to his existence. He has always been. Therefore, he was not caused.
Right. He has called himself the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He has been there from the beginning of our existence.
Yeah.
He created our universe. And therefore, basically, matter means that there is time. When you have to have time, a matter to have time. Well, when God created matter from nothing, mm-hmm. He created time, and he is outside of time. So mm-hmm. therefore, he does not experience time the way we do. And so therefore, it's impossible to to really understand what he experiences. You know what I mean? Everybody tries to put a human equation on God.
Yeah.
Like, you know, hey, he must be really old, you know, and stuff like that. But God is not. God just is.
That's right.
Sorry.
God is outside of time.
I took the scenic route to get there.
No, you're basically saying that God is outside of time.
Mm-hmm, right.
So the whole concept of something having a beginning doesn't even apply to God.
Right.
Beginnings only apply if you're inside of time to begin with, and he's not inside of time.
Right.
So he doesn't have to have a beginning.
Right.
And so God didn't have to cause himself to exist. Norman Geisler writes, and he puts it this way.
This argument commits the straw man fallacy in the first premise. Theists do not hold that God is a self-caused being. This is a contradictory concept. Rather, theists define God as an uncaused being, which is not contradictory. Even atheists believe that the universe is uncaused, having always existed. But if God is not defined as a self-caused being, then this proof fails.
Yeah, so see, it's kind of interesting because the atheist will ultimately have to fall back on, well, why is the universe here? Well, the universe sprang into existence all on its own. Or they say, well, there was a multiverse and we were one of the bubbles. Okay, well, what brought the multiverse into existence? And at some point, they're going to have to say, it just did.
Right.
And it is more logical to say that there is a God outside of time who doesn't need a beginning than it is to say, all this stuff just showed up for no reason.
Right.
So, yeah, it makes more sense to believe in a God than that all this stuff actually caused itself to exist. Right. So, that's that. Now, we're going to answer a listener question today.
Right. I got a question.
All right, listener question says, why doesn't the Bible talk about things like breaking the sound barriers and other things that that were impossible back then?
Back then, meaning 2,000 years ago.
Right.
Okay, well, you know, the Bible doesn't talk about breaking the sound barrier. Because that's not what the Bible is about.
Right. We keep saying this. It's not a textbook or a science book.
That's right.
You know?
It's not even necessarily a history book.
Right.
It's a record of God's activity interacting with mankind. It's a narrative about God's relationship to us.
Which doesn't involve the sound barrier.
Not necessarily.
Right.
So, I mean, the Bible's a story of a God interacting with humans to save their souls. It's not a story about making airplanes. I might add that the Bible does include historical records of things that happened that we can't reproduce today, like Jesus raising people from the dead or raising himself from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have a lot of shows that you can listen to on our website, truthrevolution.tv, to figure out how Jesus rose from the dead. What's the evidence for it? To know that Jesus was capable of doing miracles. And so the Bible talks about a lot of things that we wouldn't think of as possible. But the Bible doesn't talk about breaking the sound barrier because that's irrelevant to the story of the Bible.
Right.
Now, you might be, I'm assuming this guy asked this question because for some reason in his mind, if the Bible were to talk about breaking the sound barrier, then that would have been proof for him that, you know, 2,000 years ago, they didn't know anything about breaking the sound barrier. So, you know, the Bible talked about it, and wow, God was really showing us something humans didn't know on our own.
Right, and we've had discussions about this before. Why didn't God put something back there in the Bible telling us basically a proof that he exists that we would discover on down the road? But it goes...
The problem is...
It's a self-defeating thing.
It's totally self-defeating, because if God had written into Scripture 2,000 years ago what the sound barrier was... 2,000 years later, we'd be sitting here going, sound barrier, whoop-de-doo.
Yeah, whoop-de-doo.
So the Bible talks about the next sound thing, barrier. You know? Who cares about the sound barrier?
How come the Bible doesn't talk about breaking the light barrier?
Yeah, exactly. You know? I mean, we would come up with something else that humanity hasn't done yet and say, why didn't God put that in the Bible?
Right.
Well, the same reason. Because if he would have revealed that to us 2,000 years ago, we would have understood it, studied it, and moved beyond it.
It's a circular and very unending argument.
So there's no reason to include that in the Bible. Right. I mean, for the reason you're thinking of,
right,
which is to prove God's existence. It wouldn't work. But even aside from that, it doesn't fit with the Bible story.
Right.
That's not the reason it's there. And that's the answer for our question today.
Got a question.
All right. There's another atheist argument. This one's called the ontological disproof of God, which is very complicated. Because the ontological argument for God's existence is very complicated.
Yes. Okay. Well, this one is another three point argument.
One, two, three.
It starts like this. God is defined... God is by definition a necessary existence. But necessity cannot apply to existence. Therefore, God cannot exist.
Okay.
I'm going to sit back and let you handle this one, Jeff.
Let's break down what he was saying.
Okay.
I'm going to break it down a little bit. Then we're going to read Norman Geisler's response to it.
All right.
Because he has a good one. And then we're going to break that down a little bit.
All right.
If you don't like this one, just sing songs in your head until we're past it. We won't spend much time on it. Okay. God is by definition a necessary existence. In other words, when we talk about God, we're talking about a being who has to exist.
Mm-hmm.
If this being wasn't necessary, he wouldn't be God.
Right.
And so when we say God is by definition a necessary existence, he has to exist, otherwise he's not really God.
Right.
Number two says, but necessity cannot apply to existence. So they're saying that, look, it's okay for you to say that you need water,
mm-hmm.
but something can't need existence.
To exist?
Yeah, something can't need that.
Oh, because it would need something else in order to exist. Existence is maybe like the end game.
That's kind of what they're getting at, okay. right? Therefore, God doesn't exist okay. because it's impossible to need for yourself to exist.
Right.
All right, Norman Geisler says, in support of the crucial second premise, that's the one that we were just talking mm-hmm. about, he noted that necessity is a logical term, not an ontological
gotcha.
One. Okay, logical is like how your processes of thinking. Ontological is your existence. Right? That is, necessity applies to propositions, not to being a reality. Now, theists point out that the second premise is self-defeating. It is a necessary statement about existence that claims that no necessary statements can be made about existence. You get what he's saying yeah. at all? Okay, so you cannot say, okay, it is a necessary statement about existence that claims that no necessary statements can be made about existence. So the very fact that he can write necessity cannot apply to existence.
Right.
He needed to say that.
Right. He flopped on, back on himself.
Yeah.
Basically.
The fact that he has to yeah. say that is irrelevant. Geisler says, who said necessity cannot apply to existence? This legislates meaning rather than listens to it. You see, he's trying to give a definition of what existence is. He says, it is not something that you can need. But that just doesn't make sense. God, I mean, you can't say, well, you don't need existence. My definition of existence is that existence is something you don't need. That doesn't make sense. You can't just say that. It does sound kind of squirrely. You don't need existence because my definition of existence is that it is something you don't need.
It just sounds like they're trying to walk circles around you.
Yeah, but the definition yeah. of God is a being who must exist, otherwise nothing else would exist.
Right.
And this is the ontological argument in a nutshell, right? You have this idea of God. And if God is real, he'd have to really actually exist. And a matter of fact, the fact that I can even conceive of a being that might have to have existence to be real shows that he must actually be real. He has to exist because his existence is necessary to even my concept of God. Okay, I'm not going to explain this any further.
It's
we have a whole
deep.
Show on it if you want your mind to be stretched. All right, we're going to move on. Let's do another atheist argument.
All right, the teleological disproof of God.
Dun, 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 dun,
yeah,
dun, dun,
a teleological dun, argument dun, against God's existence can be stated as such. Number one, the universe was either designed or else it happened by chance.
Okay, now that's a possibility. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was designed, maybe it happened by chance.
Number two, but chance is an adequate cause of the universe.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Number three, therefore, the universe was not designed. That's a very loosely knit argument.
That's right. And we're going to defeat it when we come back from this break. All right, so we're going to take a look at line number two and show you why this is not a good argument against God. And in fact, this proves God.
Really?
Yeah. We're going to come back and talk about that. So we'll be right back. Get out to truthrevolution.tv and come on out to Revolution Church. You know, we've been having a lot of people coming out lately.
Oh, amen.
We've been having really...
It's been great.
We had over 21 people baptized in the last couple of weeks. This has just been amazing. God's really doing some cool stuff. And nobody here is looking to judge anybody. We're looking here to learn about God together.
Right. Amen.
That's what our church is about.
Right.
I'm just thinking there's people listening to this show that have been thinking about coming out to Revolution Church. Just do it, man.
All right. 1111 West South. And if you don't want to make it out here physically, you can always check us out online. Kind of a try it before you buy it kind of thing.
That's right. Be a little sneaky. Watch mm-hmm. us online. You can find the links at truthrevolution.tv, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And then come on out and try it in real life.
Amen.
We're going to be right back with an answer to this atheist proof.
truth shots from truthrevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
Jesus said in John 10, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full."
Boom! Having life to the full is God's desire for you.
So, what is the abundant life?
It's a life that finds its entire worth in, makes it mission the spread of, and enjoys ultimate satisfaction in knowing and savoring Jesus Christ.
Jesus says in Luke 9, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it."
Whoa. Jesus wants to give us a full life, not a safe life.
Jim Elliot once said, "Consume my life, my God, for it is thine. I seek not a long life, but a full one, like you, Lord Jesus."
That's a good prayer. Not a long life, but a full one.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Hey, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church.
And I'm Dave. You know, God cares more about what's on the inside of a person than on the outside.
That's right. Join us Sunday morning at 9 or 11 a.m. online at revo.church.
What if someone had never been to church before?
Most people here hadn't been for a long time, if ever, so you'll fit in fine.
What to wear? Just be yourself. Jeans, t-shirt, tats, whatever.
Revolution Church, Sunday morning, 9 or 11 a.m.
online at revo.church.
That's revo.church.
Revolution! Did you know that Truth Revolution is supported by Revolution Church and listeners like you?
It takes quite a bit of time and money to produce a quality radio show.
If you find Truth Revolution helpful, a donation would be a powerful way to make sure the message keeps going out.
This ministry is doing more than Dave and I imagined it would at the beginning.
You got that right.
And as we grow, we want to keep the goal the same: to be the place where faith and reason meet.
Donations are accepted at www.truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church.
Ephesians 1:4 says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." We were chosen by God to be saved before the world began. But listen to the rest of this verse. It says, "In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will." God chooses to describe his grand cosmic plan for the redemption of humankind as adoption. Now God chooses words carefully. And Jewish theologians, including Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, believed that history from the beginning was moving towards a pinnacle mountaintop when God would redeem his people, that is Jesus Christ redeeming us. And all the climax of all history, physical, emotional, spiritual, is described as our adoption because of Jesus. Consider adoption today. God uses the word as the pinnacle of what he's done for you and me. And it can be the pinnacle of what you do for another human being in this world.
Truth Revolution.
Okay, we are trying to disprove the disproofs for God today.
That's right. Disproving the disses.
Right.
So we have the teleological disproof.
Right. And so let me go ahead and go over this real quick in case somebody's just now joining us.
Yeah.
The first part of this argument is the universe was either designed or else it happened by chance.
And we think, I mean, there's a couple other possible explanations, but basically, yeah, that's fine. Right. We'll go with that.
Okay. Number two, but chance is an adequate cause for the universe.
Okay.
Therefore, number three, the universe was not designed.
Now, this is probably a valid argument. I mean, if one's true and two is true, probably the universe wasn't designed.
Right.
But number two, this is where the argument breaks down. Chance is an adequate cause of the universe. Okay. I want to put this in other terms to you. All right?
Okay.
Who won the Super Bowl last year?
That would have been the... Patriots.
Okay, the Patriots. Yeah. Okay.
Sorry.
So, number one, the Patriots either won by skill or by luck. Number two,
okay,
luck is an adequate reason for winning the Super Bowl. Number three, mm-hmm, therefore, they did not win by skill.
What?
That doesn't make sense, does it?
Actually, totally makes sense when it comes to the Patriots.
To the Patriots. Well, okay. But if we're talking about someone else, it wouldn't.
No, I know what you're saying. Because obviously, every team in the NFL is skilled. Mm-hmm. And so it takes skill to win a Super Bowl.
That's right. But you can't just rule out skill as a possible cause just because luck might have happened.
No, luck plays for the Colts.
Sorry. Maybe I should use a non-sports analogy, right? Like, Jeff either made it to work today because he by luck found his way there, uh-huh, or he actually knew the route.
Right.
But luck is an adequate reason, is an adequate way to describe how he ended up at work today. Mm-hmm. Therefore, Jeff got to work because of luck. Not because he actually knew
the
route.
I've seen your directional. He's directionally challenged. Take a ride with him someday, and you will totally get lost. Showed up by work.
I was talking to my pastor buddy the other day who has another church. I was like, "Hey, is the construction affecting your church?" And he's like, "What are you talking about?" It's like the construction over by our church. Like, there's no construction by my. I was like, never mind. He's like, where do you think my church is? And I was like, I'm not talking about this anymore.
Change subject.
Sam, our video guy, like we take rides all the time together. I've been to his house like 100 times. I've had to ask directions every single time.
Right.
But you get the point, though,
yes,
right?
Yes, I do.
Just because luck is an adequate explanation doesn't mean skill wasn't involved.
Right.
Chance as an adequate cause of the universe does not mean it is okay to rule out God as a cause of the universe.
You have two things that could possibly happen. Just because one of them is a possibility doesn't preclude the other one from happening.
Exact. Thank you. You worded that much better than my stinking analogies.
Well, I can't help it. You're directionally challenged.
But what we would love to do...
Mm-hmm.
Hey... Okay, anyway, what we would love to do is to show that premise two is so ridiculous that this actually proves God's existence, right? The universe was either designed or else it happened by chance. That was number one.
Uh-huh.
Number two, chance is an adequate cause of the universe. No, it's not.
It makes me giggle every time I see it.
Yeah, because chance is not an adequate cause of the universe. We've had guys on from the Discovery Institute. We have guys on from Reasons to Believe. Guys on from Standard Reason. These philosophers and scientists with PhDs have gone over the statistics. What is the likelihood that one protein molecule could come into existence? It's astronomical.
It is.
You would need more than billions upon billions of years for the probability of this to happen. Not only that, but what is the probability that matter could come into existence when there's nothing to cause it to come into existence?
Right.
The probability is zero. Chance is not an adequate cause of the universe.
Right. And on top of that, chance does actually lead to chaos.
Yeah, right.
Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
And in looking at our universe, we can see that it works like a machine. I mean, I've talked about this before. The Mayans set their calendar to it and it's still going, you know, because they look up in the sky and they see the way the universe moves, and it is very close enough, right? No, not even close enough.
It's synchronous.
It's so precise that they're able to keep their calendar with it. So
yeah, this is, and you're even talking about if there was stuff there to begin with, what are the odds that stuff would just happen to fall into existence, right? Like if you put a bunch of gears into a box and shook it up, what are the odds you're going to pull out a perfectly working watch?
Right.
It's not going to happen.
Right.
If you put a bunch of molecules in the universe and shook it up, what are the odds that you're going to come out with a planet that can support life like human beings? It's not going to happen. But that's what they're saying. Chance is an adequate cause of the universe. It is not an adequate cause of the universe. It is completely inadequate cause of the universe. So much so that point number one, the universe with either designed or helped by chance.
Well, let's just stretch out the last part of that number one.
But like we said, okay, so the universe was either designed or happened by chance.
Right.
But point number two is chance is a completely inadequate cause of the universe. Therefore, the universe was designed.
Wow. You just folded that argument back on top of itself.
That's right. I told you we were going to use it to prove God's existence.
Awesome.
Because chance is not an adequate cause of the universe. Go listen to all of our previous shows about this. It really shows it really, really, really well. Okay, we're going to answer a Bible contradiction and do it nicely.
Bible contradiction.
Who said we should do it nicely?
We should do this nicely.
All right, check it out. Bible contradiction. Whoever believes in Jesus shall not perish but have eternal life. Everybody knows John 3:16, right?
John 3:16, baby.
Hey!
I see it in the stands the Super Bowl.
Right?
That they won by chance.
Do you know that there's an argument against that?
What?
In the Bible itself? In the book of James, chapter 2, verse 19. You believe that there is one God? Good! Even the demons believe that and shudder. Oh.
So you can believe in Jesus and be saved, or belief is not enough.
Right.
Which one is it, John 3:16 or James 2:19? Well, when you use our cracked acronym, the K stands for...
Knit together.
You cannot just take one verse or one book and say, this is everything. No, there are narratives and meta-narratives running throughout all of Scripture. This is very, very important. In all of Scripture, faith and believing in God is never defined as believe and then be lazy and do nothing, believe nothing, feel right. nothing about it.
Right.
That is not the biblical definition of belief right. or faith.
Well, true faith will spring you to action.
That's right. In fact, James, right before he gets verse 19, he starts with verse 18. I want to read 18 to 22. Dave, will you read that for me?
Yeah. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shuddered. You foolish man. Do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son, Isaac, on the altar?
Okay, so James is giving this explanation. Hey, even Abraham, this guy who's like, we consider the ultimate guy who had faith.
Right.
He was considered righteous for what he did because of his faith. His faith caused an action, and our faith should always cause action. So when Jesus said, whoever believes in me should not perish, he wasn't saying, whoever believes in me and does nothing else and feels nothing else, but just believes it with their heads and nothing happens in their life. That's not what he was saying.
Right.
You have to take that word believes that Jesus said and read into it what the rest of the scripture defines as believe. So let's say that we are out at
Here's another analogy.
A team meeting or a sports meeting. And we had like this secret code.
Uh-huh.
We had this secret code. And I said, hustle. And you knew when I said hustle, I was like using an acronym, and I'm not going to make one up off the top of my head,
right.
but you know, we had this terminology. Hustle meant that we were going to work hard. We were going to live with integrity. We were going to consider others, all these different things.
Right.
And I looked at you and I said, Dave, more than anything, I want hustle from you. And someone who doesn't know what we're talking about might be like, well, why does he want Dave to run?
Yeah, evidently I'm not fast enough.
Yeah, or... Dave must run. But like, no, if you're in our group, you know by mm-hmm. you know what I mean by hustle. And it means, Dave, I'm asking you to do something big here. Be integrity, have faith, try hard. Again, the word believe in scripture, it's defined more than just intellectual assent.
Right.
There's other things about this. It's trust. It's action with it. All these different things. So when the atheist says this is a contradiction, they just don't understand what Jesus is saying by believe.
Right.
And Amen. That's the answer for Bible contradiction today.
Bible contradiction.
I should mention that good deeds don't get you to heaven. That's not what I'm trying to say here. I'm not saying that, oh yeah, when Jesus said believe, he really meant do good deeds.
Right.
No, what we're saying is, what we're saying is when Jesus says believe and when the Bible talks about faith, it always assumes that that is like the seed and then there's going to be more that comes from that.
Right.
So faith, belief in Jesus Christ, him having mercy on you is what gets us to heaven.
Right.
He is the one who saves us. But after we're saved, that belief always grows into fruit.
Amen.
So, all yeah. right, back to the atheist proving, disproving, disproves.
All right, here's another one.
It's truthrevolution.tv if you want to find more of these. We're going to link to some other shows we've done about this stuff. We probably got some truth shots about atheist arguments, too,
yeah.
we might link to. Also, get out to truthrevolution.tv, throw us your questions. We answer one today. We'd love to answer yours next week. We respond to all of those. Consider giving to the show if you like what we're doing here. And come on out to Revolution Church. But let's get back to the arguments.
All right. This is the existential disproof of God.
Whoa.
Yeah, the philosopher Jean-Paul Sartre. Okay. He argued, if God exists, then all is determined.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
But if all is determined, then I am not free.
Okay, well, whatever.
But I am free.
Okay.
Therefore, God does not exist.
Okay.
There's four parts to this argument. It's really complex.
Well, that's how they do things. Basically... his argument is wrong. If God exists, then all is determined. I might agree with that a little bit. But if all is determined, then I am not free. No, not true. You're going to have to go back to our show a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
You can have choice even if God already knows what you're going to do.
Right.
The fact that God knows what you're going to do and has determined it in this universe doesn't mean you didn't make that choice freely.
Right.
You can still make a free choice even if God knew it ahead of time. Since we're running out of time, I'll give you the quickest example I can think of. It's even though it's not totally foolproof. I know for a fact, 100%, without any doubt, my kids are going to take cookies if I put them on the table.
Right.
But it's still their choice. 100%.
Amen.
So you can know without making it happen. All right. Truthrevolution.tv. Revolution Church. We'd love to have you come out here, people. Ask questions, challenge things. TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. See you next week.